is the Vice Chair of the Health Committee, the DUP's Jim Wells. Morning to you, Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jim. Good morning. Now, to be fair to you, you were going to come on about another story, but we've just been hearing in the 10 o'clock news this morning that the Chief Executive of the Belfast Health and Social Care Trust, Colm Donoghue, has resigned. He had been in the post for almost 4 years. What's your reaction to this, Jim?
Well, Stephen, the first I heard of it was on your programme. I've known Colm for many years. I'm shocked because I was at a conference with him last Wednesday and Thursday. And he was in very good form, and I was chatting away to him, and he spoke very well at the conference. But I understand he's actually leaving to go on to a higher position, that he's moving on in his career in health. So I think it's more a career advancement rather than anything more significant.
And yet, Jim, people will, of course, speculate, if only because the Royal Victoria Hospital, and he was in charge, was at the centre of a lot of scrutiny because of the accident and emergency ward and the waiting times and the number of deaths associated with waiting times in that hospital.
Well, I suspect, Stephen, that if you check the facts, probably Colm had applied for the job long before his alternative post, long before these issues became public.
Also, do you know that to be the case, Jim?
I don't, but I know that if you're going to a senior position within a health trust elsewhere, the time lag can be at least 6 months.
Well, the only thing that would discount that, Jim, is that he said after those incidents that he would not resign.
Well, he hasn't really resigned. I think that was in the context of would he resign because of the incidents at the Royal. I presume at the stage he had applied for the job but yet didn't know the outcome of it. So yeah. I don't see this as a resignation. I see it as a move along the promotion ladder, as it were.
He did, to be fair to him, Jim, have one of the toughest jobs in Northern Ireland.
Yes, and I'd agree with you on that, Stephen. Colm probably had the most difficult job in his trust, a trust that provides care for Belfast regional facilities. There's a wide range of everything from cancer to heart bypasses to very specialist skin conditions. All of them are carried out in the Royal City or Matter. So he was dealing with a far bigger population than simply the Greater Belfast area. And he had worked very closely with the Minister and the Board under John Compton to ease the problems that were at the Royal. And there was progress being made. But it must also be emphasised that Colm has a vast experience. He was a former chief executive for the Northern Trust and the Southern Board. So therefore, he comes with a huge array of expertise in these issues. So I'm not surprised to some extent that he may have been headhunted, as it were, for a more senior position.
Jim, I don't know if you heard. Did you hear the story we were doing this morning about the children's scanner?
I didn't, Stephen, because I was researching the story that you and I had intended to cover, which it was much lighter, and I can fully understand why you've dropped that in favour of this particular issue. So I heard snippets of it, and as you know, I have made some comment that I feel the Trust should make provision for a temporary arrangement to use this wonderful piece of machinery. Put it on a more permanent footing when the building is built and ready for action.
So just to be clear, what are you suggesting as Vice Chair of the Health Committee
do? Well, I mean, obviously it's a marvellous news that the people of Northern Ireland have come together and raised this $2.1 million for the scanner.
But that's been raised a long time ago.
It has. But as you know, the Finance Minister has made money available for a brand new children's hospital on the Royal site. That's a long-term project. I was saying in the meantime, what should happen is that some strategic plan should be devised to have a temporary building or temporary housing for this facility, because, as your listeners have said, there is a considerable demand for this facility.
Okay. Jim Wells, thank you very much for coming on at such short notice. Fergal McKinney joining us this morning, the SDLP health spokesperson. Good morning to you, Fergal.
Good morning, Stephen.
First of all, on the resignation of Colm Donoghue, the Chief Executive of the Belfast Health and Social Care Trust.
Well, now, I'm only hearing very sketchy details at this stage. I've been in a meeting and I've been hearing that Colm has resigned. For me, this isn't an issue just to deal with the board and or the Belfast Trust, and it isn't just to do with Colm Donoghue. This issue has got to do with the general direction of transforming your care.
It has to be stressed that he is moving on to another job, and certainly people like Jim Wells think he's actually got promoted.
Yes, and I'm sure Jim would say that, but nonetheless, the man who's headed up the Belfast Trust, which has been under pressure, has resigned. We think that's indicative of a wider situation, and the pressures that came on that trust didn't come on it just because of A&E or just because of pressures integral to the trust. Those pressures came on because of the direction of travel that the Minister has put in place in terms of transforming your care. And we've been arguing for some time that what the Minister should do is really review that. Now, we're 3 years into this process, which was supposed to improve things. And what we're saying is that the direction of travel, the fact that they didn't put the money into the right places at the right time, took money out of emergency areas when they shouldn't have done, didn't promote community care, means that that has put intolerable pressure on the system overall. And in about an hour's time, the Minister is going to deliver a statement, which I've just got sight of, which, when you juxtapose it against Mr Donaghy going, is tantamount to a fiddle while Rome burns statement.
What do you mean?
Well, the Minister is just going to, and I've got to be careful because obviously he's got to deliver the statement to the Assembly first, but it doesn't touch on the issues that you've been touching on all morning since you started the discussion on MRI, because it just wasn't about MRI. It was also about strategic thinking within the board. They knew that money was being raised. They knew there was an urgent need for an MRI scanner. We now have the only children's hospital, pardon me, in the UK without an MRI scanner because they didn't think ahead. They're not thinking ahead. They're not putting adequate...
And how would you describe that situation, that we are the only children's hospital not to have an MRI scanner?
Well, I think it speaks for itself, Steve. It absolutely speaks for itself. And as I say, if you juxtapose what the Minister's going to say this morning with what your callers have been saying all morning about how they feel that this is a failing system. And I mean, it's a failing system for the most vulnerable people in our society. This morning you're talking about MRI. Queen's University this morning have issued a report which is saying that some of our older people haven't even got the rights, if you like, attached to them to be able to get cancer drugs just because they're old. There's fundamental flaws in the system.
Do you think it is acceptable, Fergal, that the private sector have two scanners that are being used around the clock? In other words, they've been able to install them. They've been able to do everything that the public sector have not been able to do.
Well, listen, if the public sector wants to pursue an agenda which allows the private sector, we're against that, and we've always been against that. So people can set in place motions or dynamics which will allow that to happen. We believe it's fundamentally wrong. And it's fundamentally wrong in this regard, that you have those vulnerable children who can't access the service that they're supposed to get and get speedily and without other major upsets to their life by potentially having to travel elsewhere. So, you know, a privatisation agenda, which we believe was behind TYC in the first place in major part, is not going to solve this either.
And meanwhile, the taxpayer doesn't know how much money is being spent given to the private sector. We simply do not know. No, the Belfast Trust will not tell us. They will not release the information.
No, and what they use is the private sector at the end of the year to offload loads and loads of different waiting lists. So the private sector can sit on the side knowing that that's going to happen. And the meanwhile, the public doesn't get its consistent, good, high-quality care in a timely fashion. And that's what we're saying should be at the key of the aims of the health service.
So the vice chair of the health committee has called this morning on the Belfast Trust, Jim Wells, to hire a scanner in the meantime and on a temporary basis. What do you think should happen?
Well, it's an answer. But once again, it's a potentially privatisation answer. What I'm saying is the minister needs to review TYC. We're 3 years into this process, and the minister is not evaluating it. He's insisting on going on. He's insisting in the direction of travel. That in itself is insisting on putting undue pressure on the health service.
Well, transforming your care, a lot of that document in transforming your care is about having specialist hospitals with the right people, the right equipment and the right place. First of all, that's exactly what's needed if you look at this situation.
Transforming your care has set off in a particular direction. And a lot of people describe it as, if you like, motherhood and apple pie. Who could complain when you talk about the objectives ultimately? It's the way that you go about it. And the way that they've gone about it is not put enough into community care, and that has put intolerable pressure on the hospital side. We need a review of the entire system not just to stand on the sidelines as the minister is doing and cheering it, and the statement later on this morning will reveal that as his approach, but we need the system to be interrogated. We need the complete review of it, and the minister, and I think the public, is behind that concept of saying, and I take from what your listeners and contributors are saying this morning as a contribution to this, they're bewildered. They don't understand why they're sitting for 7 hours in A&E. They don't understand why it is they've got 3 weeks to wait for a GP appointment. They don't understand why 30% of people are presenting themselves at A&E when they don't have to, and that's producing further queues. And the minister clearly doesn't understand that either.
Okay, Fergal McKinney, thank you very much indeed. The Belfast Trust have got back to us with our question about how come the bill varies. They say, we are charged per patient scan and the monthly bill does vary. We use Alliance as our provider. We cannot give out costings associated with this provider, as this information is commercially sensitive. And they have said that it's based actually on the type of scan a patient receives, and that's how the bill varies.